Let's open our Bibles to Joshua chapter 23. Joshua chapter 23. And then we're going to look at Joshua 24 as well. Just a few verses from each. Joshua chapter 23, verses 1 through 3. Bible says, and it came to pass a long time after that the Lord had given rest unto Israel from all their enemies round about, that Joshua waxed old and stricken in age. And Joshua called for all Israel and for their elders and for their heads and for their judges and for their officers, and said unto them, I am old and stricken in age. Verse 3, and ye have seen all that the Lord your God had done unto all these nations because of you. For the Lord your God is he that had fought for you. Chapter 24. Let's read verse 22 and 23. Chapter 24, verse 22 and 23. And Joshua said unto the people, you are witnesses against yourselves that ye have chosen you the Lord to serve him. And they said, we are witnesses. Now therefore put away, said he, the strange gods which are among you, and incline your heart unto the Lord God of Israel. So this is a gathering of all the leaders of the nation of Israel under the leadership of Joshua. I entitled this message as the last charge of the general. You know, Joshua was the general of the nation of Israel who took over from Moses. And at this point, he's getting really old, and it's time for him to go, and he knows that. But before he goes, he has a last charge as a general to the people of Israel. And we're going to find out what that charge is in this book. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you, Lord God, again with thanksgiving, for we serve a faithful and merciful and gracious God. Oh, how privileged we are that we have a Savior who loves us. Savior who's given himself for us, forgiven our sins. And Lord God, thank you for that love. We ask at this time, if you please be with us, be our preacher. May your words reach the deepest parts of our hearts and our minds, that we may be changed. Lord, I pray for those who are not saved in this building. I pray that you would please convict the hearts of that unsaved soul. May that soul learn and understand that Jesus Christ is the only way. And I also pray, Lord God, for the Christians who may be living a life that is questionable. May today be that day as well, Lord God, that you would restore the fellowship with you. Lord, whatever we do at this hour, pray that you may get the glory and the honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. How many of you know Joshua? You know, Joshua took over from Moses Moses passed away and the Israel nation needed a new leader. And that was Joshua. He's a mighty general in the Lord's army. And as you know, if you remember, you probably remember, especially the teenagers here, one great event, one of the greatest events in Joshua's life was when he led Israel in their attack against Jericho. Joshua and the Jericho, that's why it's a song, right? Joshua and Jericho. Wall came down after they went around the city about seven times, and after the seventh time, they went around it seven times that day, and they shouted a great shout. You remember that. And that's when the wall crumbled. Also, in the life of Joshua, you remember Rahab. You remember Rahab, the harlot. She took shelter of all of the two spies that went ahead and, you know, spied on in the city. She gave them shelter. And when it's time for the Israel nation, the army of Israel, to conquer the city, you know, Rahab and her relatives, her family, parents, and loved ones, everyone that went inside her house was spared. Remember that? She had to let down a scarlet, you know, rope or a cord, so that the army of Israel would know that that's her house. Remember that? Well, you also remember the life of Joshua when they crossed the River Jordan. Remember that? When the priests were carrying the Ark of God, went in front of the people of Israel, and they stepped in a river, and the river dried up, and they crossed. You remember that? There's so many battles that Joshua fought. They conquered and they beat so many kings and took over the lands as promised by God. You know, Joshua is a great general. He's a great general because God was with him. It's not because he's a wise general, as in because of his own, you know, talent and intellect. He was just following what God told him to do. And that is the greatest characteristic of Joshua. And he's very famous of the saying that who's with us, right? Who shall serve the Lord, right? As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And that's why we read in chapter 24, you are witnesses. You chose the Lord. You're the one. You promised that. So that's toward the end of life of Joshua. And before he went out of this world, and he knew that his time was coming up, he was getting really old, he said, I got one last thing for you, my people. You know, that's before I go into the message, that's a good guideline for us. That you and I are going to get old. There are a lot of old, elderly people here, Christians. You know, the best way to end this life, as you're getting closer to the end of your life here on earth, is to pass on something that your children or your children's children can learn from. Good advice from your parents, from your grandparents before they go. Something that the children, the young Christians, can really learn from. Amen? And I'm not saying that there's something that you tell them. I'm saying that maybe based on how you live, how you've been living, you're passing on a great lesson for the new next generation. Amen. So here, Joshua, he said, I'm calling all Israel, all the elders, all the princes, everyone, or every officer. You know, I'm about to tell you something here. My time is almost up. I want to share with you, what did he remind the people of Israel before he died? Take a look at one more time. Jeremiah and Joshua 23, Joshua 23, verse 9. Verse 9. Here, the Bible says, for the Lord had driven out from before you great nations and strong. But as for you, no man had been able to stand before you unto this day. You know the first thing that Joshua reminded the people of Israel about? He reminds the people of their past blessings. Of their past blessings. Look at it. Verse 1 to 3, one more time. And it came to pass a long time after that, the Lord had given rest unto Israel from all their enemies round about, that Joshua waxed old and stricken in age, and Joshua called for all Israel. And verse 3, and ye have seen all that the Lord your God had done unto all these nations because of you, for the Lord your God is he that had fought for you. You see that? I think we would benefit a whole lot. It would make a big deal, a big difference in the lives of Christians of today, of churches of today, for us to be reminded of how God has been good to us. It's good to be reminded. Maybe back then, there was a time when maybe you were in a hospital. Maybe you'll be praying for this loved one, your friend. And you know the Lord did a miracle and got you through whatever it was you're going through. It's good for us to be reminded that it was God who got you through it. It's a good reminder that whatever triumph you have in life, you probably got a good job. Your health has been restored. Your children are doing very well. You got a promotion. You were able to buy something that you have been wanting and needing for a long time. It's good to be reminded that it was God who allowed you to get that blessing. You know, we are Christians. We are Christians who are in need to just sometimes sit back and stop and think that we have so many past blessings in life. You know, I hear many Christians sometimes complain about how hard the life is. How, oh, I wish I were this and that. I wish I had this and I had that. Or if I could just be this, be that. And forgetting all those things that God has blessed you with. I think it's good for us to stop and think for a while. To just look back, and just like Joshua, he said, you know, my time is almost up. I want to remind you of what God did for you. You know, if nothing else, I want to remind you that we were lost. We were lost and we were dead in trespasses and sins. If you go over to Ephesians chapter 2, I want to remind you of this condition. I know I spoke about so many blessings that we have in this life. But you know what? One of the greatest blessing, I believe, that we have as Christians is this, that knowing that we, in Ephesians chapter 2, in time past, look at it, chapter 2, Ephesians, verse 1, and you had he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins. You realize that? Don't ever forget how blessed you are if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior. Because you were once dead in trespasses and sins without God. Outside of the commonwealth of Christ. You were lost. You and I were lost. But we were found. You should be the happiest, most joyful human being on earth, knowing that fact. You know, we were on our way to hell without power to change our course. And if you just look back in Titus, let me share with you something here. Titus chapter 3, verse 5. I just want to remind you of how good God is to us. Titus chapter 3, in verse 5, the Bible says here, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Sometimes we dwell too much time on things that don't really matter here on this earth. And we complain. That's why we complain. Oh, this is hurtful. This is painful. This is really hard, you know. How come I don't have this? We're talking about Christians. Christians who are saved. Let's just go back and think about God's mercy. What are you talking about, Brother George? Yeah, God has been merciful to you and to me. How? He saved you. That alone should make you happy. Amen? You know, Christ, he came and died, you know, for our sins, and he saved us from our sins, and he changed our destiny. You know that our destiny has been changed? Our destiny has been changed. And I'm not talking about the destiny here on earth. And I'm not talking about you getting rich here on earth. I'm talking about a much better destiny. You and I know about that. I just want to remind you of that. Like Joshua, he reminded the people of Israel, God has been good to you. So this Joshua reminded them of the past blessings. You know what else Joshua reminded the people of God as he was getting close to the end of his life? Not only that he was reminding them of the past blessings that the nation received, Joshua reminded them of the future blessings. Of the future blessings that had been promised to them by the Lord. Take a look at here. Joshua 23 in verse 5. Joshua 23 verse 5. It says here, and the Lord your God, he shall, look at this, he shall expel them from before you and drive them from out of your sight. And ye shall possess their land as the Lord your God hath promised unto you. Joshua reminds them of the future blessings that God has promised to them. Do you know that God has also promised us future blessings? In fact, God has promised us so many blessings. I just want to name you a specific blessing in the future. And what is it, Brother George? That is a victory, a victorious life over our enemies. Let's open our Bibles to James chapter 4, verse 7. Here's one promise of the Lord to a Christian. James chapter 4, verse 7. He promises to be victorious. Over what? James 4, verse 7. The Bible says, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. You know, one promise that God has promised us, that we will be victorious over our enemy. Our enemy, the first enemy, is Satan. No other than Satan. He said here, resist the devil and he will flee from you. You know, and someday, Satan is going to be defeated once and for all. Completely. Read the book of Revelation. He'll show you. Satan and his fallen angels are going to be defeated. Are you on the right side of the battle? And God has promised you will be victorious. You know, not only that we'll be victorious over Satan, we will be victorious over this world. Look at 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. It says here, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. We'll be overcoming the world. John 15. The book of John, chapter 15. John 15. Okay, verse 19. Here's what the Lord said. If ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hated you. We are not of this world. Sometimes we act like we're of this world. We love this world so much. But let me remind you, as Joshua has reminded the people of Israel, that God has promised to give you victory over this world. Don't get so attached to this world. Don't get so attached to it that, you know, you feel like, oh, I give up. I mean, this world is so good. World is so good to live in, and everything that I'll do is really for this world. We have a better world, and that is called heaven. Amen. And the Lord has promised us that we will overcome the world. What else that the Lord has promised us? He promised us that we will be able to overcome the devil, that we will be able to overcome the world and all the sins associated with it. He also promised that we'll be victorious over ourselves and over sin. Romans chapter 6, verse 14. Romans chapter 6, verse 14. Here's what the Bible says. For sin shall not have dominion over you. For ye are not under the law, but under grace. You hear that? For sin shall not have dominion over you. No dominion. You know, before the Lord Jesus Christ, before we got saved, you had no choice whatsoever. You had no choice. You may say, "Well, yeah, Brother George, I had a choice. I could do some good before I got saved." Oh, yes. You know that the Bible says the plowing of the wicked is sin. You know what it means? That before you were saved, no matter what you do, whether it's good, so-called good, or bad, it's still sin. You had no choice but to serve sin. But now that you are being saved, you are in Christ, you can overcome sin. You can overcome sin in your life. That is a promise by the Lord. So Joshua was reminding the people of Israel of the past blessings. And he was also reminding the people of Israel about their future blessings. You'll be able to overcome all kinds of obstacles in your life. You'll be able to conquer this land, take over this land, just like the Lord has promised to you. But you know, not only that, he is also reminded them of their responsibility. Let's take a look here. Joshua 23, verse 7. Joshua 23, verse 7. Joshua reminded them of their past blessings, and Joshua reminded them of their future blessings. And Joshua also reminded them of their responsibility. Look at verse 7. Joshua 23, verse 7. It says here, that ye come not among these nations, these that remain among you, neither make mention of the name of their gods, nor cause to swear by them, neither serve them, nor bow yourselves unto them. You see that? It's a responsibility. And you, as a people of God, you have a responsibility. What is that? Joshua said, don't mess around with the idols of these other nations. Don't serve their gods. You may say, Brother George, what, you know, we as Christians, we're modern now. We don't go around and serving other gods. You know, we serve other gods. And I want to tell you what those are. In today's Christianity, our idolatry are not those images. You know what those are? You know what our idols are today? Let me give you one. Materialism is one. Materialism is one. Let's look at Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. Verse 16, here's a parable. I'm trying to hurry up. Luke chapter 12, verse 16. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. You know the story. There's a certain rich man, all he was thinking about was to get more, and to get more. You may deny it or not, but I believe Christians are susceptible to this kind of idolatry. It's materialism. Oh, yes. It is materialism. You know one other idolatry that we have, aside from materialism, is this. I want to show you here. Matthew 15. Matthew 15. Matthew 15. Verse 7. Matthew 15, verse 7. Bible says, ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah as prophesy of you, saying, this people draw it nigh unto me with their mouth, and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. You know what is another type of idolatry that we have today? It's playing church. It is playing church. And I'm not trying to say that that is the type of church what we have. I'm just saying that Christians today has this kind of idolatry. That is, they just play church. Act like that they are Christians because they come to this, they do this and do that. They are playing church. And on the outward, they are holy and pious. You look good. Dress up like Christians. You must be a Christian. That is the measure right now. You ought to cut your hair a certain way. Dress up the way, certain dress. Clothe the same. You know, as long as you look and act like a Christian, then you pass off as a Christian. Come to church every Sunday. Playing church. But you know what God is more interested in? We just read it. This people draw it nigh unto me with their mouth, and honor it me with their lips. But their heart, you see that? Is far from me. You know how you can please God more? I'll tell you, it's not how you dress. It is not how you smell when you come to church, whether or not you're home. It is with a right heart. It is with a right heart. Joshua reminded him of that responsibility. Not to mess around with a strange God and idolatry. Let me tell you another thing that they reminded him of them about is that look at in verse 6, Joshua 23, verse 6. Joshua 23, verse 6. Look at this. Be ye therefore very courageous to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, that ye turn not aside therefrom to the right hand or to the left. You know what's a reminder here? He reminded them that to obey the word of God. To obey the word of God. I'm glad our church preaches from these good old-fashioned Holy Scriptures. But you know, it's not enough. We just hear and listen to the word of God. You know, James says, amen. Be ye doers of the word also, not hearers only. It's easier said than done. It's easier said than done. But that's one reminder of Joshua. Obey the word. Here's another reminder. I'm almost done. Look at verse 8. Joshua 23, verse 8 through 11. Obey the word, and here's verse 8. But cleave unto the Lord your God, as ye have done unto this day. You notice that word? Cleave. Cleave unto the Lord your God, as ye have done unto this day. For the Lord hath driven out from before you great nations strong, but as for you, no man hath been able to stand before you unto this day. One man of you shall chase 1,000, and on. Look at verse 11. Take good heed, therefore, unto yourselves, that what? That you love the Lord your God. You see that? Sometimes we can act the act. You know, we can be busy doing all kinds of ministry and be involved in so many things in this life and in this church. But sometimes, you know what's lacking? Is true devotion to the Lord. You know, just be careful. Just by being busy, busy, busy. So much involvement in this. Those are great things. But don't ever forget. Why are you doing those things? Are you doing them to be seen? Or are you doing them just to feel good about yourself? Or are you doing them because you love God? Because if you do, whether or not you get rewarded, whether or not you get recognized, or somebody, you know, oh, he or she's doing all these things, those things are immaterial. Your recognition comes from the Lord. That is true devotion. Lastly, he reminded them of past blessings, reminded them of their future blessings, he reminded them of responsibility. Joshua also warned them. He warned them of the danger of just taking things for granted and disregarding what their nation has gone through under God. What's that warning? Take a look at verse 15. Joshua 23, verse 15. Therefore, it shall come to pass that as all good things are come upon you, a lot of good things, which the Lord your God promised you, so shall the Lord bring upon you all evil things, until he have destroyed you from off this good land which the Lord your God hath given you. When ye have transgressed the covenant of the Lord your God, which he commanded you, and have gone and served other gods, and bowed yourselves to them, then shall the anger of the Lord be kindled against you, and you shall perish quickly from good land, from off the good land which he had given unto you. You know, God has been good to us. He's given us so many blessings in life. He has so many future blessings for us. But there's also a warning. that if you continue on a path that is not pleasing to him, I'm not saying that it's going to go throw you right into hell, because God has already fixed your destiny. He's not going to do that. But what I'm saying is, don't expect for God to continue to bless your life when you're living a life like the unsaved one. Don't expect God to answer your prayers if you've been messing around with sin and unwilling to confess those sins because of your pride, unwilling to let go of those worldly things that you know are not good for you, and expect God to continue to bless you. Joshua warned him, God is being good to us as a nation. He's going to continue to bless us and do this and do that and use us. But if you walk outside of God's will, he will punish you. And for us Christians today, that form of punishment sometimes, and this is the truth, and this is in the Bible, sometimes it is in the form of sickness. You know that? Sometimes in the form of unanswered prayers, or maybe answered prayers, but those sometimes the answers that you don't like. Or maybe in a form of you have no more joy in your life. You lack that, and we say this, you're no longer effective as a Christian. Your testimony gets ruined because you've been messing around. You didn't take heed to that warning. If a man is saved, he belongs to God and expected to do his will. You know, the attitude today and even among Christians is this: my life is my life. No one tells me how to live my life. That is the attitude. That is the wrong attitude. It should be, my life is the Lord's. It belongs to him. It is not whether I'm pleased by it. The question should be, is God pleased by my life? How is your life today? Are you living in such a way that is pleasing to God? It's good to be reminded of how God has been good to us. Let's stand for prayer. We're going to have a short invitation with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Let's have the music just playing for a little bit. Let's close our eyes and quiet our hearts. You know, Joshua reminded the people how God was so good to them. I think it's good for us Christians to be reminded of that. That instead of complaining about how hard life is, or the many issues that we think are big issues, let's think about the goodness of God. I know you have so many. I have so many in my life. He's been good to you and me. You know, how many times he's rescued you from a situation that you could not handle. About just thank God for this time. You say, God, you know, thank you. You are so good to me. You know, Christians, God has promised us much better life, a much better way to live our life. Don't settle in this life of losing all the time to the will of the flesh or to the whims and the desires of this world. You ought to have this, you ought to have that. No, God has a much greater promise for you and for me to live a life that is victorious. Don't you want that victory? You already have that. It's a promise. And last but not the least, maybe you're a Christian today who has not been living your spiritual life to the fullest. There's a warning, and I'm going to leave it at that. There is a warning. Why not settle it? Get right with the Lord. Let go of that sin, whatever that is. Let go of that habit that is not pleasing to Him. Or maybe you're not saved today. God cannot bless you if you don't belong to Him. You know that? Talking about, if you are not saved today, you are on your way to hell. You can come and I'll show you how you can get saved. It is not church membership or getting baptized or anything like that. You can even get saved where you're standing right now. It's that simple. You just have to realize that you are lost without Christ and that you're willing to come to Him humbly, turning to Him with all of your heart. Ask Him to be your Savior, and that is it. No ceremonies, nothing like that. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That is the promise. Anyone? Be honest to yourself and to God. You cannot hide things from Him. You can fool me, but you cannot fool Him. And lastly, maybe you're someone who is looking for a church. You're tired of church chanting. Looking for a church that you can worship God and learn from His Word without all the hype. And you feel that this is where the Lord is leading you. Why not come? We're a small church family. We're just here to worship God. We're just trying to be true to God's Word. Why not come? We'd love to welcome you here. More verses. Let's spend a little bit of time while Pastor is preparing the baptistry. But if you're someone who's got a need and whatever that is, why not come? Thank you. us. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for, again, this time that you have given us. Lord, as a pastor prepares the baptistry, Lord God, the baptism this morning, again, we want to thank you for all that you have done. And thank you for each one. Thank you for our members, our guests, our visitors. Lord, I just pray that you just meet our needs, our spiritual needs, most importantly. And we thank you, give you the glory and the honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.